that says, you are the Lord. You are the one who redeems sinners like me. You are the one who clothes sinners like me in righteous robes that I don't deserve. You are the one. And so with that attitude of faith, Abel comes before the Lord. And more than that, he brings a more excellent sacrifice because he brings the first fruits of his flock and also the fatted parts thereof. So he brings the best. He brings the best. And the sacrifice that he brings points forward. And Abel looks forward in faith to Christ's finished work. See, in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, we read, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Guys, let that sink into you a wee bit, because every single one of us was born in sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins, no forgiveness of our sins. And if that is true, and if there's no shedding of blood, then we have no hope. But Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, because he comes by faith before a holy God, and he comes with the blood spilt of his sacrifice. And we see a wee glimpse here, guys, right in the early chapters of the Bible. People that don't know the Bible tell me, oh, sure, Jesus, it's a New Testament thing. When was Jesus born? At Christmas, wasn't he? That's when he started. The Bible says that in the beginning, Jesus was there. And we see a little shadow appearing here in Genesis 4, because as Abel comes and he sheds the blood of his sacrifice and he brings it by faith to the Lord God Almighty, and it is offered and accepted and it is a more excellent sacrifice, we see a little glimpse of the work that Christ will do further down the line. And it is by shedding his blood that our sins can be forgiven. It is by shedding the blood of the sinless, spotless Lamb at Calvary that by faith in him, our sins are forgiven. Abel's sacrifice looked forward, guys. It pointed forward. It wasn't this fruit of the field brought with a faithless attitude. God will accept this because I'm doing him a favor. It was a by faith attitude that brings the best, and the blood was shed. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. See, guys, if there's no blood and there's no Jesus Christ, then there is no hope for us. And our hopes are in vain. But praise God tonight, because by grace alone, through faith alone, and that's the important word in Abel's life, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we can be saved. This sacrifice was more excellent because it was offered by faith, the blood was shed, and Abel was declared righteous by God as a result. We see here in Matthew 23 and in verse 35, Jesus, again, I didn't know these passages, but Jesus talks about Abel. As I was a wee boy, if I'd have known this, maybe it would have made sense. But Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, he's talking about what they've done. He's sent unto them prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them, says Jesus, ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you, says Jesus, verse 35 in Matthew 23, may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Bacharias. See, I didn't know that existed, but there it is. Jesus tells us here about Abel back in Genesis 4, and he calls him righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. Why was this man righteous? Was it because of his works? Was it because somehow God looked at the sacrifice and said, well, do you know, you've taken a bit more time than Cain, and so I like yours a bit better? Guys, not a bit of it. Abel was a righteous man because he trusted by faith alone in Christ alone. That's what made this man righteous. And so this isn't a story about brothers having a wee fight and one brother getting one up on the other brother and God being a wee bit petty and a wee bit jealous. That's not it at all. It's a story about a holy God who has two brothers coming to him in worship, but only one comes by faith. And guys, tonight, as I look into this hall, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know you from Abel. And maybe this will be the one and only night our paths ever cross. But if you are coming before God time after time after time, and you come to this hall, and you go to church in the morning, and you're doing it all in your own strength, doing your parents a favor, because they like to see you going to church, doing the minister a favor, because he likes to shout at you, doing God a favor, but you're not coming by faith. Guys, realize that if that is the case in your life, then you are lost. You're doing nobody any favors. And if you think that God will accept you because you put on your Sunday best and you look the part and you sing your heart out up at the front, if you come without that saving faith in Jesus, then my friends, you come in vain. Abel in Genesis 4 comes by faith. And his sacrifice declared in Hebrews 11 verse 4 was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And yet the story sadly goes to a dark place, because Cain was not a man of faith. Cain was full of sadness and sorrow and rage and wrath, as the scriptures tell us. Cain was part of the seed of the serpent. And we see that battle continuing here, because later in Genesis 4, Cain and his brother go out into the field, and the famous story, Cain slays Abel. And Abel's blood is spilt and Abel is killed, and of course nothing can be hidden from the Lord. The Lord discovers this and Cain is sent away. We see the story taking this awful turn. Cain is the first murderer that we read about in the scriptures, and Abel, his brother, lies dying in the field. And when we read that, we see it all played out, guys. The more things change, the more they stay the same. This is still the reality in this day and age. The battle between good and evil continues. The battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent goes on. And make no mistake, my friends, if you are Christians tonight, if you are brothers and sisters in the faith, then do not be surprised that the world hates you. Do not be surprised that you will be mocked and laughed at and scorned because you're one of those strange Christians. If you think that that's a new phenomenon, have a look at Genesis 4. And if you think that Cain maybe was just a bit miffed because, well, God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his, you've got it wrong. Because again, back when I was a kid, I didn't know this verse existed. But in 1 John chapter 3, we see what the reason is for Cain killing Abel. John says this in chapter 3 and verse 12. Cain, who was off that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. See, there's the dividing line, guys. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because Cain was dead in sin. Because Cain was off that wicked one, says John. Off Satan. And what riled him, what angered him, what caused that sin to boil up in him, that caused him to kill his brother, was that his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Guys, this is the reality here. And I would love to come to Lestuder for the first time tonight and put a big smile on my handsome, big, grey, bearded face and tell you, do you know what? Christian life's brilliant and it's always going to be easy and there's never going to be struggles, and you'll go to school and everybody will think, wow, you're great because you're a Christian. But you know what? Guys, it's not always going to be like that. With the sunshiny days, there come days of thunder and lightning and rain. That is the reality. And I don't want you going home tonight not sleeping and seeing my big scary face in your dreams. Oh, it's awful. You don't want to look at my face. But guys, I want to be true with you. From the beginning, the righteous have been hated. From the beginning, we have been mocked and laughed at and scorned because we have not followed Satan. But we have taken the other path and we have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have been saved. And guys, if that is the reality, then make no mistake, you will face dark days because of your faith. But do you know what? Guys, it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. Do you realize what has been done for you? Do you realize that it wasn't Abel's blood that was shed for you? But for Abel and for you and for me, the blood of the Son of God was shed for our sins so that we might be forgiven. Guys, that reality, when the next time we're mocked and the next time we're laughed at, the next time someone says, where did you go on Saturday night? And you're maybe a wee part of you that's embarrassed about saying you've come to the hall because you know what they're going to say. The next time those things happen, guys, remember that Christ has died for you. Remember that that precious blood, that sacrifice was for you so that Abel and you and me, we could be free. You see, guys, Cain could well have been the first murderer we have ever come across in the Bible, but Abel was the first man who goes to glory. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this Abel born in sin, but who came to put his trust in the Lord God Almighty? And that moment he died, his soul was made perfect, and he went to be with Jesus. And I know, guys, we read in the Old Testament, we think, well, does that work? Do people go to heaven in the Old Testament? What about Jesus in the Old Testament? Guys, if anybody has ever been saved, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we read from the words of Jesus that righteous Abel was his name. And we read that the brother in 1 John was righteous. And we know that those who have trusted God are counted as righteous and they go to glory. So Cain was wandering about the land of Nod, worrying if someone would take his life, whilst Abel was singing praises of God with the angels in heaven. Guys, that is our destiny. The world might hate us. The world might despise us. Some of us may well lose our lives in the years to come because of our faith. But we go to be with Jesus. We go to be with the one who died for us. Guys, that is so much better than worrying about the scorn that this world has for us. And one of my favorite passages in the Bible shows us what is going on here with Cain and Abel. And time is gone, guys. Don't worry, I'm not going to be long-winded and keep you away from your treats tonight. But there's a wonderful story which shows us again this whole glorious act of grace and faith in Jesus. In Zechariah chapter 3, and in the first 4 verses, the high priest Joshua is standing before the angel of the Lord. And whenever you read about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, we believe that it's a little glimpse of Jesus before he comes in human form in the New Testament. We read about angels all the time, but when we read about the angel, that's the big one. Gentlemen, it's like when you say, the girlfriend, she's the number one, or a girlfriend. That's the one you shouldn't have, all right? And there's another lesson for you. But the angel of the Lord. So in Zechariah 3, Joshua the high priest stands before Christ. And who is there? Satan, standing at his right hand to resist him. And so what Satan is doing, guys, is pointing out all the flaws of Joshua. This man is a guilty sinner. This man has done things and said things and thought things and been the places that he shouldn't be. This man doesn't deserve forgiveness. And the Lord says unto Satan in verse 2, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Or in other words, what Jesus says about Joshua, and guys, for your encouragement, what Jesus says about you, you who have put your faith in Christ, is this not someone who deserves hell? And yet I have plucked this one out of the fire. This one belongs to me. And guys, tonight as I was talking at the back, I was hearing about all the places that you've come from tonight. And some of you are from Lestuder. You haven't come far. You've just come across the field on your donkey. Because that's what happens in the country. But some of you have come from Newton Arts. Some of you have come from Killyleagh and other places, other far out provinces and districts in this land of ours. But wherever you are from, guys, if you have put your faith in Christ like Abel did, if you have trusted Jesus, then guys, wherever you're from and whatever your surname is, then the most precious thing about you is that you are a Christian. And the next time Satan is tempting you to despair, and the next time the world mocks and laughs at you because they think you are oh so stupid for believing in that old book, the next time, guys, you feel that shame and that reproach, it is Jesus who stands for us. It is Jesus who intercedes for us. It is Jesus who speaks to Satan and says, keep you quiet, because this is one of mine. This child of God in this hall tonight, this girl, this boy, this older person, nearly 40, this is one of mine. Guys, do you get that? Do you get that? My mother is a staunch East Belfast woman. And to this day, if someone was to talk about me, someone was to say anything remotely negative about me, my ma is ready for war. Because that's the way you used to be. Now, when she used to go to war on your behalf, you better not have lied to her. Because if she discovered you'd lied to her and she had gone to war for you, she'd come home and her tanks would be turned on to you. That's the way it worked. But my mother loves me. I'm her wee Scotty. I'm 37, but I'm still her wee boy. But we are owned by Jesus. Our mothers might love us, guys, but Jesus died for us. Our mothers might go to war for us, but Jesus went to Calvary for us. And he says to Satan, this is one of mine. So shush. Stop. My blood has fully paid for the sins of this child. And Joshua in Zechariah 3 was given clean clothes to wear. All the way through the Old Testament and into the New, guys, this imagery is used. Adam and Eve given skins to cover their nakedness and their shame. Joshua the high priest given clean clothes to wear and his filthy garments taken from him. And Jesus says to him, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. I have taken your sin away, Joshua, and Abel, and you, and me. Faith in Christ, you have been forgiven and saved. And guys, there's nothing better than that. I used to think the story of Cain and Abel was unfair. Poor old Cain getting a rough end of the stick. But poor old Cain, he could have had Jesus. And instead he wanted Cain. He could have walked with the Lord. But instead he wanted to walk by himself. He could have had eternity with his brother. And with Christ and with you and I, but instead he would rather have the reputation and the prestige and the here and now. Guys, this story wasn't about Cain and him being treated unfairly. And it wasn't about Abel and him losing his life even though he didn't deserve it. This story was all about Jesus. And if you put your faith in him, then you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Guys, just in closing, faith, and this great passage about faith in Hebrews 11, faith in Christ is what it is all about. Unless you think tonight there's other ways, well, Hebrews in 11 and chapter verse 6 makes it clear that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And guys, again, that's a word for those of us who think we're on the right road. Because we're all right, aren't we? Everybody in this hall's all right. You know, I'm not like the guy down the road. I'm not like the boys in school. I know my mates are land blocked tonight somewhere. I'm not like them. Well, if you don't have faith, guys, you're exactly like them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But, as the Gospel of John in chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, as many as received him, or in other words, as many as has faith in Christ, as many who have believed in them, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And they weren't born of blood or the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. They have been saved. And guys, that work, lest any one of you wants to boast about it, lest any one of you wants to go home tonight and say that you're a Christian because you are great, that work is by grace alone. We haven't deserved it, but as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, that's not the understanding Cain had. He thought it was works. He thought it was the fruit of the field. Why wouldn't you accept that? I'm doing you the favor. Not of works, but all of grace. And we are saved through faith. Guys, tonight, there's many precious things in our lives. And many hopes and dreams, no doubt, you have for the future. And guys, you know what? It's 5 weeks tonight, and it's going to be Christmas. Can you wait? 9:05, Christmas night. Your granny will be lying sleeping over on the sofa. Uncle Jimmy is lying there, and he's had far too much turkey, and he sat on your best CD, and it snapped in two, and you wish he would go home and never come back the next Christmas. 5 weeks' time tonight. And maybe even now, you're getting the Argos catalogue out with a big red pen. I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And where do you leave it? You leave it at the foot of your mum's bed. You leave it in the kitchen. You leave it in your dad's car. Anywhere that they can see it, because Christmas is coming, and we can't wait. But guys, do you know what? Tonight, if we are in Christ, if we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then guys, truly for us, the best is yet to come. Because this faith of ours is more precious than anything we will get in 5 weeks' time. Peter in his first letter says, our faith is more precious than of gold. Guys, that is what this is all about. Cain didn't get it, but Abel did. Some of you may not get it, but I pray by the end of tonight you will. But hopefully, I'm preaching tonight to a group of guys who get it. And our faith is not in self, or in a preacher, or in somebody else, but our faith is in Christ Jesus. And by that faith, we have been saved. In Hebrews 12, Paul goes on to mention Abel once more. And guys, it is with this verse that I close. Hebrews 12 and verse 24 says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Paul calls to mind Abel. And when we think of this guy, Abel, we think of his blood shed, and we think of Cain, his brother, sent away from God's presence. We think of all those things. But Paul reminds us of Abel, and then he takes us back to Christ, and he says, see this blood? It speaks better things than that of Abel, because this blood, Christ's blood, washes us clean of every sin and spot and stain. Guys, we sang about it there tonight. And no doubt in this hall you'll sing about it time after time and time again. But it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and by His precious blood alone, that we have been saved. Guys, tonight I pray you've got something out of this. Maybe you have, maybe you've not. But let me sum it up by saying, it is all about Christ. And if your faith is in Him, then just like Abel, you will never be put to shame.